So now we're going to repay debt, I guess, because we mentioned Kinyoni Zela that comes up in the context of Nitzava Beveira, but also just different cases and whether or not you can Yotze Lechem, whether or not you have Bailos in these different various cases. So the Gemara mentions a number of different Kinyoni Zela in that context. So we had mentioned some of them briefly when, or a little bit more than briefly when we discussed Nitzava Beveira, but we had mentioned we'll get back to it as a topic in its own right. So now we're starting with that. And the first one that comes up is the Din of Yayish. This comes up immediately. The Gemara says that just in revealing the Din of Mitzvah Bavavera, so the Gemara cites in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Din seems to be that this Korban is puzzle regardless. There's no remedy, even after Yayish. But why? How can it be Yayish? Isn't it going to be Yayish? So right there, as we mentioned then, it's a focus of Shonam. We're going to discuss it here, and in Bava Kamma, in Meruba. What does that mean? And essentially, it comes down to Machokas in Psak, Lalacha. Right? Most of you don't think that we pass in Yeish Kedi Enokani. Yeish Kedi is not Kona by its in and of itself in Zela. So that what it means here, it means Yeish plus something else. Mirtam, though, takes this Gemara Kipshuto, thinks it really does mean that we get Rabbi Yochanan pass in Yeish, we pass in Yeish Kedi Kani, except for the exceptions of Mitzvah Bavera, basically. Otherwise, Yeish Kedi Kani. All right, so just to get to the sodos of the matter, the sodos of Din Yeish. So this starts that the Gemara in Meruba, Bava Kamma, Samech Vav Manala, the Gemara mentions basically three shitas regarding Yeish Gzela. You might say, fundamentally speaking, it's really two shitas. One is Yeish Kedi Kani Midaraisa, the other is Yeish Kedi Yeish alone is not Kone, and then it's Machokes, and that's why I say two, three shitas. Machokes between whether or not, if you hold it, it's not Kona Midaraisa, is it at least Kona Midarabanan? The initial assumption of the Gemara was, for sure, yes. At the very least, it's Kona Midarabanan. But the Rav Yosef comes at the end and he says he doesn't think it's Kona Midarabanan. All right, but for our purposes, it's essentially two opinions, or two shittos regarding Yeish Kedi B'Gzela. Now, the Gemara in Meruba mentions that the Mandar holds, basically what this is Machlokes, whether or not we apply the din that we find Be'Aveda to Gzela, right? Midaraisa Midah Hava Motz Aveda. So that one day holds that we can derive Yeish, or we can extend the din of Yeish that we find elsewhere, namely Baveda, that implies somehow that Yeish Bigzela will be Kona. And the other day holds that no, it isn't, that there's a difference. And we'll get to that more in detail. But the bottom line is the Av, so to speak, the archetype of Yeish, where the initial place, the initial application of the Din Yeish is really Yeish B'Aveda. The Machlokes of Gemara and Meruba is whether or not we derive from Aveda, whether or not we apply that to Gzela. So that we'll discuss Yeish B'Gzela, but the first initial context is Yeish B'Aveda. Let's analyze that, just the Din of Yeish B'Aveda. Several questions. First of all, what's the Din's Makor? What's the character of the Din, the nature of the Din, the impact of Yeish, and then the scope of Yeish. So that's what we'll do, just as I say, Yesodos Yeish, this is sort of a primer. So this is all first Yeish B'Aveda, then we'll come to Yeish B'Aveda. All right, so as far as the makor for the Din of Yeish, what's the source for this halacha? So here there are two possibilities. The Yerushalmi cites the following. The pasuk, there's no question it comes from this pasuk. The question is, what is the makor from the pasuk? The pasuk in Pekisei says, so the Yerushalmi seizes upon this line here of Asher Tovad Mimenu Matzasa. What does that mean? Says Yishami, Minayinli Yeish by Limina Torah. So Yishami asks the question directly. What is the source for the din of Yeish? That, and he mentioned this, but the halacha of Yeish is that if somebody's lost an item and then is Minyayish, then despairs of ever getting it back. So the halacha is whoever finds it keeps it. Okay? So the Yishami asks, what do we know that from? Minayinli Yeish, this is Yishami, but see a paragraph of Allah. So I added in, so this line in the pasuk which says implies that this is something which is avud bimenu, but matzo etzel acherim. The Yatza Yeish by the Shafi is despaired of ever finding it. That's Avud Mimenu Michol Adam. That's excluded based on the idea that it's of Imenu, not just Imenu, but Mikolav. Is that the Makor in the Bavli? So the Gemara of Mitzia actually does quote that drasha, but it may or may not relate to the issue of Yeyesh. The Gemara of Mitzia quotes it with respect to a din, the din of Zudo Shayam. This is the Gemara of Mitzia, Chalbezim Mabezim. In Mitzios, the Gemara says, notice it's the same Amora, Minayin Lavidish Shat Benar Shehimu Teres. How do I know that if you have an Aveda which went out into the river, simply was flooded into the ocean, how do you know that it's Muteris? So this is the din of Zudo Shayam. That's something that's been, you know, rushed out into the Yam, let's say, which is out of the orbit, out of the reach of anybody, of everybody. So that is Mutter. Now, the question is, what's the basis for this halacha within the Bavli? So Rashi seems to have assumed that this Gemara in Bav Metzia is consistent with Yushami. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. What's the basis of the din of Zudo Shayam? It's simply Yidin Yeyesh. In other words, this particular case is just an application, particular instance of the halacha of Yeyesh. Why is it as Mutter Kishashat Tanar? Because Minasam, the Bavli, was Nisiyash Men. This is Rashi in Meruba, Motzei Aved Alav Kev Minayash, Lamarad, Mikam Tazal Adev, Vuhul Vuhulay, the Tanah Bav Metzia is Minayin Aved Shashat Tanar, Hol Ben Nisiyash Wa Bavli, Shim Mutteris. Tamal Lomar, Shatoban Menu, Shavudin Menu, Mitzuyu, Lashar, Bnei Adam, Yatzazam. So the Rashi thinks that that's the makor. The reason that Shatvan Nahar is Muteres is because he was Miyayish from it. That gives an explanation a little bit to what the Yushami has in mind. It isn't otherwise clear exactly how you get Abu Menu Mikaladam in Yushami, meaning he's been Miyayish from it, so in what way is that Menu Mikaladam? So the truth is, one could have said, well, maybe what the Yushami is meaning back to the Pasuk is a Mutsasa, meaning that in terms of what's going on in the mind of the Bailim, he's assuming that that's a possibility, that Mutsasa, somebody will find it. But if he thinks that nobody will find it, or nobody will know that it's his, or whatever, Mutsasa is not a possibility. That's what it's referred to sort of subjective content, the subjective thoughts that are going through the Bailim's mind. If it's not Mutsasa, meaning what? Meaning the person doesn't think it'll be found and it won't be returned to him, so then it's yours. From Rashi, one gathers that it's not really that, it's more that it is excluding the case of Shatvan Nahar, because it's Avud Mi'anam called him. But why is that Mutter? So the reason for it is simply because Yeyesh. Now, why couldn't the Torah have said it in a case which is less Mechudash? I mean, in that case, like, objectively speaking, it's Yetzim Menachaladam. You follow? No, this is saying that what does Avud Mi'anam called him mean? It means, objectively speaking, it cannot be reached. And how do we derive Yeyesh from that? Because the reason that in such a case there would be a heter is because of Yeyesh. Yeyesh is the basis for that halacha. That's what Rashi's saying. It's a little bit of a chiddush that this is the case that the Torah uses, where it's Avudim Menu Mikaladam to indicate Yeyesh, but alright, that's how Rashi had it. The Rashba, however, understood differently, and he understood that, no, this din in the Bavli is not at all a din Yeyesh. The din of Shatanar is not a din Yeyesh. It's a separate din, that if it's avudu menem, we call adam, that if it's out of the reach of anybody's, it's a separate halacha, it's a separate yisod, that in that case, in a sense, you might say the Torah is not here. This is exactly how the Rashba says it. Zudu shayam v'shalirusa shalnar, d'isba simen rachmana afkare, mistaber d'hefkagamu, afilu meradiv achareim, afilu amar v'feirsh, lo miyashna, afilu afki shayir rachmana afkare. And that opens up the possibility that there'd be an afkamina. Let's say the guy, he isn't miyash. Let's say he says, he's soveach v'omer, that he's not miyash. So for the Rashba, that for sure doesn't matter, because Achman Afkar, it's not based on Yeyesh. For Rashi, one can wonder, one could say, maybe Rashi will hold, in that case, it isn't Hefker, you have to return it, because after all, the guy's saying he's not Miyayish, the whole basis of Halacha was Yeyesh. The other possibility is to say it's a kind of Batla, it's a Kaladun, that everybody, in general, towards me, you know, we consider what most people would do, not necessarily what that particular person would do. But either way, the Rashba didn't agree that this was the application of the Din Yeyesh, he thought it was a separate Halacha. And you'll see that others seem to have assumed this as well, because they present a different makor from the din of Yeyesh, namely, what the Tosafot Kama say, which is Simlasa. Tosafot Kama point to the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, and Bava Metzia later on says, Acha Simla, this is from the same Pasuk, right? The Pasuk says, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamaro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlasa, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol v'sichita, v'chul v'chul, right? So why does the Torah mention Simla in particular? So the Mishnah in Bava Metzia says, because it's Yatzas Lahakish Elel Lamar Lacha Ma Simlam Yuchede Sheyesh Ba Simanim Veyesh Atovin, that it has Simanim, there's a particular pattern on it, let's say, right? No two skirts are alike, I guess. So it's got a particular pattern, Veyesh Atovin, and it has people that are seeking it. That's what it sounds like, Veyesh Atovin, right? So Tosfos take that to mean, the Yesh HaTovim means that there are people that are seeking it, meaning what? That there hasn't been any Yesh. Because there's Samanim, there's no Yesh. Because the Bailam of a Simla is not Miyayish, so there you have a mitzvah Sashav Zaveda. Where you don't, where you have, let's say, no Simanim, or we have no reason to think that the Bailam are Tovim, or maybe we know that they aren't Tovim. So that's the base, that's the Din Yesh. This is what those of the comments say, right? Omar Reed, the Nakhlan, the Yesh Kona Be'aveda, Mehad Amar Be'el Metzias, Masimil Yukheda, Sheyesh HaSimanim, Yesh HaTovim. Perish, Ayideh, Sheyesh HaSimanim, Yesh HaTovim, Shekin HaBailam Misyash. Kevin Jay Bam Siman. So Tosfos notes that Rashi didn't understand that din like that, and it's not surprising because Rashi had a different makos of din of Yayish. Rashi understood, it would seem. There's a Rashi later on in that same daf that maybe muddies the water a little bit. Rashi there seems to say, what does it mean, Yesh la Bailam Tovino Sasha Lona says Elabideada? Meaning we know just from what it is that there is a Bailam. Something which has a Bailam, and you can see that it has a Bailam, Simla is not something which comes about naturally, it needs to be made. So Menasama has a Bailam, and that's something you're required to return. So that has nothing to do with Yayish. And indeed, that's what Tosfos understood, that Rashi, that this is an alternative understanding of the Halakha, has nothing to do with Yayish. Just Sheyesh Latovin, She'ena Shal Hefker, the similar Davar Nasa Be'yad De'adamu. So Tosfos rejects, but according to Rashi, that's what it has to do with. But according to Tosfos, not. So that's the Makar for Yayish. So two different possibilities. There's Ashkevan, Reino Matzasa, and then there is Lissim Lassa. Okay, so that's in terms of the source of the Halakha, that Yayish Kani Be'aveda. What we'll discuss now is the character, the yisod of the din of Yesh HaVeda. On what basis? How do we understand the fact that it is Koneh? So here you have three basic possibilities. The first is to say that it's not a new halacha, but rather this is based on something we already know, namely Hefker. You have the ability, a person has the ability to be Mafker something, in which case, whoever comes and finds it is able to be Koneh. So in Yesh, the halacha really isn't Yesh Kani in Mitzvah. The point is Yesh releases the chayvah prior by them is the mini. So that's the question. What's that based on? So some assume that this is actually din hefker. This is how a lot of rachonim want to read Rashi. So cited as an example, some mention some halach, the near issue with mitaros hefker. Why are they saying this? Why do they think that's what Rashi says? Because the Gemara in Gittin discusses the case where a person says in siyashi miponi abdi. Person has an eved. Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, Nisyash Miponi Avi. I've been Nisyash from that Evid. Gemara wants to know, Mao, what do we say in that case? Do you need to get Shirkar? That's a general question about Mafkir Avdo, whether I need to get Shirkar. It's an important halacha. It has to do with the nature of Avdo Zalfora, the nature of the Kenyan bow, meaning, which we're going to talk about, Kenyan Mammon versus Kenyan Isser. To the extent that it's just purely Mammon, so then Mafkir Avdo should enable him to just be Yodze regardless, whereas the more we view it as a kind of a Kenyan in terms of a relationship, establishing a certain kind of relationship, it's not simply mamonos, and that's what we get from la meisha. So then the more there's room to have a requirement for to get shifter in that case. Alright, that's not our topic. But in that context, Rashi says in the Gemara, what is Nisiyashi? So he says Lashon Hefker. You see Yeish is a Lashon of Hefker. It's a way of being mafkir. Now, I have serious doubts about this. Just because Rashi says Lashon Hefker, who that means that he thinks that the din of Yayush is based on Hefker, I'm not so sure. I think one could have simply understood, what does he mean, Nisiyashi Poniyadi? What does he mean when he says that? He's saying, I'm Mafkir. The person who says Nisiyashi Midavar, he's just saying it is a Lashon of Hefker. Not that the din Yayush is Midin Hefker. That you don't have. Just when a person says this language, Nisiyashi, me, so he means to be saying that I'm Mafkir, that thing. That's a Lashon of Hefker. That doesn't mean that the din of Yayish, when a person despairs of ever receiving his item, that works for me time after. And the truth is that the Tosos point this out, it's certainly difficult to say that Yayish works me din hefker because the din don't really match up. So Tosos points to one din. This is the Tosos no kama, Maruba, and Kibur Mashma Bisura, Nikan Mashma, Sheyesh, in kehefker gomer. I mean, there's a hamamin in Tosos, and maybe you would say Yayish is kehefker, what that means, I think, is me din hefker. That it works as an application of Hefker. And why do we know this isn't the case? There's a discrepancy. The Imkan Afil Basa Dasal Yadeh Bisur Yuchal Kasan Hefker. I mean, the Gemara in Bava Kamma is discussing the din of Yesh Dikani or not. So why would you say Yesh Dikani or not? I mean, why would you say that it works Be'aveda to enable somebody to be Zoche, but it doesn't work Be'Zela to enable the Gazan to be Zoche? The reason is because Isura says, we're not going to get into what Isura says now, maybe I'll just mention quickly, it could either mean that he already is mechuyav b'hashava, or it could mean something else. We'll get to it. But one way or the other, the point is, what Tosa is saying, hefker has no such limitation. Let's just say this. Tosa is of the opinion that what Yisrael has means he's already mischayav b'hashava. But even if you're mechuyav b'hashava, if the guy is not here, it obviously doesn't matter. All right, that's one discrepancy. One could add that a hefker according to most poskim requires that the person have it pershuso in his domain, legal domain. Not just that it's the ba'uso, but it's got to be, he has access to it. This is from the sigim of a common meruba and dabayin. Most of them assume that what's said there about hekesh, namely that ish fi yakishas beso kodesh, the ma beso pershuso achol pershuso, that you don't just need it to be shalom, but you need to be pershuso. Most of them assume that's true, except for the Rashi, who says that's machogas. Most of them assume that you need the Rashi there in both times. Most of them assume that that's true for all kinds of transactions, including hefker. If you want to be mafia or something, it has to be b'shusha. Go to comments on Pesach, not fine. Yeush quite obviously doesn't require b'shusha. So that's another example of where it doesn't seem to be that the dinim match up. So it seems that it's likely it isn't midin hefker. Now what is it then? So here I think you have two possibilities that one could suggest. One is to say, well, this is the second approach, is to say that this is a din in maintaining bialus. It's a din in bialus. We know that to create bialus, you need a ma'aseh kidney. Now, one could have thought that once you've created bialus, so then to maintain it, there's no requirement. It just, no matter what happens, you know, the crown of bialus doesn't ever fall off, no matter how ill it is worn. It's not something which you need to do anything to continue to own it. It's simply once you own it, you own it. Right? Short of volitionally directing it elsewhere, you own it. However, it could be that that's not the case. That to maintain bialus, in fact, there is a requirement. You need to relate to the chepetz as a bialus. And what does that mean, relating to the chepetz as a bialus? So one could here say, I think, two things. One, perhaps, maybe there's an objective component to that. Maybe it needs to be that you have access to it, that you have control over it. This might be the explanation for the din we saw, namely, Zut Shoyam with the Rashba, right? You know, the Rashba had mentioned that we have this din based on the pasuk. It means that if it's avud to be men, we call Adam. So then, the Rachmana Afkari. One could understand that as a discussion, perhaps regarding Aveda. But Lachora, simpler understanding is that no, that actually relates to a fundamental feature of bialus. That in order to maintain bialus, it needs to be some objective dominion over the other. If it's completely beyond your control, so then now no longer bialus. You lose the bialus sort of de facto. That creates a de jure. Loss of bialus. So that's an objective component to that. That's how we can understand Zut Shoyam. And perhaps, in addition, one could say, maybe there's a subjective component to it. Right? It's not just that you need, let's say, objective shlita, but also there's a subjective component. You need to view yourself as a bialus. You need to view it as belonging to you. You need to view it as being shayach to you. Right. So, I mean, that if that's the makor for yesh. Assuming, let's say, that's the makor for yesh, is how you could explain it. But the point is that you need to view yourself as a bialim, and somebody who's despairing of ever seeing it again, so he's lost that sort of subjective link with the item, and therefore, the mela is bialus is paka. Okay? You simply don't have bialus in the event that you don't relate to it subjectively as a bialim. That's another possibility. And then I think the third possibility is to say that perhaps this din of yeyesh b'aveda is simply a limitation in the mitzvah ha-shabbos aveda. It's a hafkah mi mitzvah ha-shabbos aveda. After all, the makor is a miut from the pasuk regarding mitzvah shabbos aveda. It's not a context of bialus in general, specifically regarding aveda. We're saying, in this case, you don't have a mitzvah to return it. Well, I'm going to understand that, in fact, it really is simply a din that, in this case, mitzvah shabbos aveda does not apply. All right, so what's the question then? If that's the case, it's simply excluding it from the mitzvah shabbos aveda. So what's the question? Why is it mutter to take it? Why isn't there a problem with gezel in taking it? How is it hefker? So here, I think we could argue the following. Returning to the model of Zut Shoyam, Ludas Rashba, we'll say that a lack of shlita, that a lack of objective control over the item, is in fact mafkiya the bialus. In order to be a bialim, it's not enough that you did ma'aseh kinyan, and you have to maintain an objective relationship with the chepetz. And if it's no longer within your control, so then that would be mafkiya the bialus. So we could suggest, as opposed to what we've been saying until now, that maybe that specifically, let's say, Zut Shoyam, where it's completely beyond the orbit of human reach, anybody's control, nobody has access to this, perhaps really every Aveda would be defined as a lack of Shlita. In other words, it does not have to be that no one has access to it. if the Bialim doesn't have access to it, so he doesn't have dominion over it. Really, every Aveda would have been a kind of a din zutos shaliyah. Right? Objectively speaking, you have no control over it, you have no access to it, and therefore, it would have been that would be mafkila bailus. The only thing preventing the Aveda from being beyond a person's orbit is the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. The fact that everybody's mitzvah to return it to you. Mitzvah, not something that would stem midin in mamonos, but as part of a kind of a mitzvah, I don't want to take this too far, but a kind of gemil sasadim, that people should find it and return it to you. That itself is the reason why you still have bailus over it. Because once people are returning it to you, so then it is assumed to be within your orbit. The Torah, in a sense, places it back in your possession, within your shlita. And therefore, if we find that an Aveda is excluded from that mitzvah, Sashavas Aveda, so then, memela, we would say the bailus is going to be paka. It's chozer din kama. If the whole reason that there's no afkas bailus initially was because there's a mitzvah, the Torah commands everybody to return it to you as soon as they find it, and yesh latovim, etc., there's a simen. But that means, by that token, if it's excluded from the mitzvah of Shavuos Aveda, so then it'll just be normal din of Hafkas Abaylus, it'll be hefker. So maybe that's how Yesh works. A possible illustration of this principle is the din of Aveda's Knan. But the Gemara Bava Kama, Kuvim Gimel Aveis, cites Rav, that holds that minayim Aveda's HaKnani Shehi Muteres, that Aveda's Knani is Mutter. And why? Because the Pasuk says, L'chol Aveda's Achicha, L'achicha, Atamatsi v'itamatsi l'knani. Now, the Pashtos is, as far as I know, that Chita is assuming, regarding the more general question, of Gezel HaKnani, that Gezel HaKnani is Asur. Right? And that's why you even need a Pasuk to tell you what the din is regarding Aveda, because the Pashuk shot is that if you held that Gezel HaKnani is Mutter, you wouldn't need the Pasuk to tell you that Aveda also is Mutter. So Gezel's Asur, and yet Aveda also is Mutter. And why is Aveda also Mutter? Because the Pasuk says Lachicha. So what's the question one can ask? What do you mean Lachicha? That tells you there's no mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, but how do I know I can take it? Why is it his? Why do I get to keep it? Gezel Knani Asur. So Lachor, we can answer this by reference to this point. Once you say that people are no longer commanded to return it to the Bailim, then Mamela Yotze Mershuso Midin Chisar and Shlita, that once you have no control over the item, once you have no access to the item, it's not within your dominion, so then Memela Bailos is Paka. So in the case of Aveda's Kanani, if you hold it, Aveda's Kanani is Muteres. I'm sorry, if you hold there's no mitzvah, rather, so then it's not just that you don't have a mitzvah such as Aveda, it becomes Muteres. However, this could depend on the Machokas Ramam and the Tur regarding Aveda Midas. The Ramam in Zela Perak Yid Aleph has the halacha of Aveda Midas. I mean, Aved Mamono Ladas in his Katano. You don't have to return it. What does that mean? So he gives an example. Ketzad Hiniach Paraso Rebesh Ein Ladela. So he puts his cow in a place where it just is going to go flying out as soon as you put him in there. V'lokasha v'halacha. Or you, let's say, you put your wallet in Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, v'halacha, and you just leave. Chol Kayotze B'zeh. So in that case, Harizat Avad Mamono Ladaita. So in that case, or Harizat Ebed Mamono Ladaita. That's an Aveda Midas. And what's the halacha there? So the Rambam makes clear, so even though, says the Rambam, it is in fact usher for you to take it, we didn't say it, presumably, nonetheless, you don't have a mitzvah to return it, shenemar, from that same pasuk. So then not. So Tur actually disagrees. Tur, if you look at the bottom, at the last line of Tours, Tours in Rish Samachalov says, because Rama Avish in the royal lead law, that's why we call Malcolm and Fatal Tababa, Kakos Vermav, a near king, the Veda Midas have Hefke. The Tour disagrees. The Tour thinks that it's Hefke. The Veda Midas is Hefke. Now, one can wonder why, according to Tour, it's Hefke. This presumably would be one explanation, namely, because once there's no mitzvah, Lahashiv, right? Once you say there's Asher Tovad Mimenu, so Asher Tovad means probably Ma'avid Ladaito, so once there's no mitzvah, the Mimela, Kapaka the Bailus. But the Rambam, Lachora, seems to be refuting our position. Namely, he seems to think that even if you have something which is, there's no mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, nonetheless, it doesn't mean it won't be Hefker. However, I think it's possible this is consistent in our overall principle that something which is, once you have an Aveda, which the Torah excludes from the mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, becomes ownerless, becomes Hefker and Mela, even the Rambam could hold that. even the Rambam regarding Aveda Midas maybe is consistent with that. And I think what we would explain is that the Makor is Asher Tovad, Pratim Aved La'atzmo. So we could explain this. It's not that the Torah is saying that the Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda doesn't apply to this Aveda. The Torah is saying what? It's not an Aveda. Asher Tovad, the Torah is defining what is it that happens to the Chavit to make it an Aveda. Asher Tovad, it has to be that it becomes lost. But if he's Ma'abed, he does it voluntarily, he's doing it on his own, that's not an Aveda. It's not lost. Lost implies some sort of lack of volition. It just becomes lost. But if I actually, in a sense, you might say, lose it, that's not really an Aveda. That's me controlling it all the way through. They might say it's just simply not defined as an Aveda in that case. Not that it's an Aveda, but there's a Hafkas Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda. It's not an Aveda. But had it been that there would be an Aveda, an Aveda, which the Torah excludes from Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda, Nechinami, even the Rambam might agree that it would become onerous. There are other cases where there are dinim of Hamotzi Lo Yitol, but they don't really necessarily seem to be relevant. Just an example, if you find something in Makom Mishtamer and Ein Bo Siman, so in that case, the Motzei is Lo Yitol. Cannot take it because in that case, you would be depriving anybody of being able to get it. And if it's a Makom Mishtamer, so it's at least possible that maybe the guy will come back and get it. So in that case, you can't take it, and it's not yours. But there, it's clear, it's not that the Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda doesn't apply to such an object. It's that the way to fulfill Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda in that case is simply to leave it. That's the best chance you have of getting it back to the Bailim. So it's not that this is something to which the Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda doesn't apply. So it's true that in that case, you have a din shelo yitol, that you shouldn't take it to be meshiv, but that's not because the din Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda doesn't apply. It's because the best way to be mekayim Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda is by just leaving it. That wouldn't really be a refutation. All right, so those are three approaches. Now, the last two approaches diverge one from the other, in that the second approach, this is a din bailus. So what we're saying is that when a person's in the ayish, so the bailus ceases, and the mela, therefore, once the bailus ceases, it padr mi mitzvah shavas aveda. Whereas in the third view of the din of yayish, what we're saying is it padr mi mitzvah shavas aveda, and therefore the bailus ceases. So it's sort of the reverse. Right? Not that bailus ceases, therefore your patr mitzvah shavas aveda, but your patr mitzvah shavas aveda, therefore bailus ceases. But either way, it's important to know that both of these approaches share something which is that they believe that yeish, it's not simply that it's not hefker, but lechora, it's a very different kind of din entirely. The whole nature of the mechanism here is very different. Hefker is a halachic tool employed by bailim, employed by an owner. The Torah enables a person to do what he wants with his money, and one of the things that he can do as a maisa, as an act of a bailim, is to relinquish his bailus. So it's a legal mechanism that the owner employs to relinquish, to determine the fate of this item, the future status of the item. It's like akdasha, like hafna. Yeyush, according to both of these latter views, isn't a legal mechanism being employed. It's not a kli, v'yad bailum. It's not a legal tool. But a psychological reality. And halacha reacts to that psychological reality. You know, that psychological reality makes a difference halachically. But that's not a tool being employed, but so you might say it's an experience being suffered by the bailim. The Torah is mafkiya bailus, not the bailim. The Rukh Hazinah used to give yeyush and hefker, according to these views, that it is an hefker, used to give that as a good example of the general notion of a person, of a chalos mikoach ha'adam, but some of them call it a chalos mikoach ha'adam versus a chalos mikoach ha'torah, or a din mela, right? Where you have the reality of a certain sort, and halacha reacts to that by classifying a different way, as opposed to the person initiating some sort of halachic status change. And there are many nafkaminas that would highlight this distinction in this case. One, which I heard from Rav Lichtenstein in Piyashmua, which he heard from the Rabbi in Piyashmua, was that Rav Moshe Salvechik asked the Griz, what would the din be for Yeyesh and Hefker Lach Lamed Yom? So the Griz said that Hefker Lach Lamed Yom would work, but there's no such thing as Yeyesh Lach Lamed Yom, because you can't dictate. I mean, in the case of Hefker, you can dictate when the chalos will occur. You were with us last year, Adam. Yeah. It's not necessarily just that you're dictating when the chalos will occur, maybe also dictating when the mice is occurring. Yeah. But either way, with yeyush, there's nothing to be dictating. You're not in charge, you're not quasi relinquishing your bailus, so you don't get to choose the time and place of either the mice or the chalos. It's simply a psychological reality. It's not so shy to speak of yeyush lachalom. What does that mean? It's not that you're relinquishing your bailus. You're just simply suffering a certain kind of psychological experience. Vaili chisaron kis. So there's no lachal yom, it's relevant. If you have it, the Torah will then be after that. Another potential nafkamina is something I brought in the Makor here, in the Makoros here, which is the issue of Yesh Petos. This is the Yushalmin in Bava Kama, which is a machlokes about it, whether or not Yesh Tos works. According to one day, it does work. It's a Yesh under false premises. There's no question that that Hefker Petos doesn't work. With regard to Yesh Petos, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Maybe Yesh, that psychological experience based on the false premises, that is not the kind of thing that is Machia Bailus. Or maybe the Torah will say it is the kind of thing, but either way, that question is only applicable to Yesh. Regarding Hefker, there's no question that would be, you couldn't have your Hefker B'Tos, because it's a Maisa which is being initiated by the Bailan, it has to be with Das. And in general, you assume Tos is a lack of Das. Alright, so that's in terms of just the nature of the mechanism. Three different approaches. Alright, now in terms of the impact of Yesh, the Tetzah of Yesh, what is the result of Yesh? What is the Din of the Naveda from which there has been Yesh? So here the standard assumption, and it's just explicit in Rishon that they assume this, that Yesh renders the Chepetz Hefker. Right? Kol Kodem Zochet. And in the meantime, it's ownerless. The Nesivos, in Simon Rishon of Beis, and Gimel is a famous Nesivos, he thinks otherwise. He thinks that Chepetz doesn't have the status of Hefker, but rather, it's Rishus HaBailim until somebody else comes along and is Zochet. This, the model for this is what's known as Hefker Der Bisei Gluten. Because there's no focus of Yosei Glili and Rabbanan and Sugi Nadar and Gimel, whether or not Hefker actually relinquishes the bailus of the owner as soon as he's mafkir, or just enables somebody else to be zocha, but it's still Bereshus HaBailim. Rabbi Yosei Glili held it was still Bereshus HaBailim until somebody comes along and is zocha. So the Nesivos thinks that maybe what happens in Yeyush is not that it's mafkir the bailus, but rather it simply enables somebody else to be zocha. Okay. All right, then we come finally to the question of the scope of Yesh. Where do we apply this? Where does Yesh work? And here, I'll deal with just two issues concerning the situation of Chevetz. First, La'achar Shabbat Chevetz Liyad HaMotzei. And second, what happens if you have an object which is Rishus HaBailu? Okay? So first, the issue of La'achar Shabbat Liyad HaMotzei. So the question basically is, does Yesh work when the Motzei has already picked it up, and then there's Yesh? Does it have any impact in that case, let's say? Yesh. So l'chaora, it would seem based on the Gemara of Metzia explicitly that in that case there is no din yesh. The Gemara says this is a discussion of yesh lomidas. Gemara says Abaye holds lo haviyesh, Rava holds haviyesh. The davar sheyesh b'siman kuli amar lo pligi the lo haviyesh. That yesh lomidas with the davar sheyesh b'siman, there's no halacha haviyesh. Right? Right? The standard case of yesh lomidas. And even though we know, we find out later on that in fact, even though there is a siman, this guy happens to have been miayish. Lo havi yayish, it's not lemafreya yayish. Because when he came upon it, bisur yadeh. What does it mean bisur asli yadeh? It means he's already mechuyah b'ashava. Or here, it's clear that that's what that means. He becomes mechuyah b'ashava. It's already something which he has to return when he initially finds it. In that case, given that it's Bisuri Asli Yadeh, he's already picked it up, in other words, and he had a mitzvah to return it, so Yesh doesn't work. That seems to be pretty clearly explicit in the Gemara. But we find that the Tosos disagree. Tosos and Bava Kama, so they're trying to explain, L'mandamar Yesh Kdikani, so the Tosos are bothered, if you hold Yesh Kdikani, it's derived from Aveda, right? But there seems to be the discrepancy. What does it mean to say Yesh Dikani in the context of Zela? What happens in that case?
That first got to your hand. It's in your hand, then the guy's
mad. Right. Once it's already in the guy's hand, so then Kani. But in Aveda, didn't we just say in Aveda that if it already comes to the guy's hands, low Kani? So there are other explanations of this. But the Tosos, based on this, assume, let's just read it, the Tosos have a comment on the cloud. Avopish ein yesh is saying with mandamar yesh dikani, deriving it from yesh be'aveda. So say avopish ein yesh moel be'aveda baser the asli yadei. Get the kamar lav kevin miyash par minay min sugim b'mitzia that we just saw in mitzias a couple of days. Lav kevin miyash par minay mekamid asli yadei kani le damar le'mitzias be'hadya. And kol makom ba'i le'mel of shapir the yesh kani be'gezal baser the asli yadei b'mitzia nami. Whoa. What did those just say? The Yesh Kedi, when it's already been picked up and it's in the hands of the Motzei, In that situation, he becomes chayav only the hashiv damin. It actually does work to enable him to be kone the ben, and he's only mechuyav b'tashlumin. This is a tremendous kiddush. I remember considering it's a kiddush adir, this tosfos. When it comes to gezel, so we understand this tashlumin gezela. It's an established principle that aside from the requirement to return the ben, right, which is based on mitzvah patience of gezela, so in the event that you don't have that ability, so you're also on the hook for tashlumin. Or maybe it's not an aside, maybe it's actually a kium, it's a method of being meshed the gzela. That's when it comes to gzela. That's the topic in its own right. What the makor, the mechayiv of the chiv tashlumin are, and how it interacts with the chiv hashiv ben, it's not a ratio, some of that we'll get to later on. But it's clear that we have this basic principle on gezel. If you can or you don't return the gezel, so you're still chayiv tashlumin. But in Aveda, where you're dealing with presumably just a mitzvah ba'ama, the mitzvah is l'hashiv is a be'en. Where do you get achiv tashlumin? Meaning, if you say that there's no mitzvah shavu aveda, fine, so then you get to keep it. And if there is a mitzvah shavu aveda, you don't get to keep it. So where do you get this? You get to keep it, but you have a tashlumin. What is that? How does that square? Are you following the question? And where does it? Where do you end up with achiv tashlumin? Either there is a mitzvah shavu aveda, or there isn't. If there is, you'll return the item. If there isn't, you get to keep the item. What is the achiv tashlumin coming? So I think there are three possibilities, three suggestions. Which we don't have so much time to go through now. One is to say that, as counterintuitive as it is, what the Tosafot are saying is mitzvah shev d'shivim applies to the shlumin as well. You might say that it's kind of like mali hein mali d'meya. We sort of view, in general, maybe the d'meya chevetz to be sort of a substitute for the chevetz itself. So, assuming this is true in gzela, and the Tosafot were of that opinion, that mitzvah shev as gzela, we fulfill that via being meshiv tashlumin, that is a kiyum of the heshiv esakzela. So maybe you'll say the idea is that you're being mekayim shev d'shivim through the d'meya chevetz mali hein mali d'meyim. So maybe you would say that, but I should note that if you take that to its logical conclusion, you can get to something which l'chora would be absurd. According to some rishonim, the mitzvah saseh of hashev d'shivim, not the mitzvah lo saseh of lo suchal asalim, but the mitzvah saseh of hashev d'shivim applies b'ri'ya ba'ama, just upon seeing a chevetz, even if you haven't picked it up. So then, let's say there's yeyush at that point, after you've seen it, would you say, according to them, your type of tashlumin? Hard to imagine. Alternatively, what we'll say is not that there's a chid tashlumin mi mitzvah sashay d'shivim, that in a chinami. Once you say there's a mitzvah, that would mean you need to return the be'en. What the Tosafot is saying is, when it comes to mitzvah sashay d'shivim, yeyush, l'shita sa'omrim, that it applies, b'gzeilah, so they hold that even if the item is bidei, somebody who's mechut to return it, Yesh nonetheless applies. Where do you get the chiv tashlumin from? Maybe you'll say, he did shomer aveda. The Gemara of Mitzia, Chavtes Manal, mentions that you have, and I put it here, right, that a person who's motzei aveda, not just is he have a mitzvah, but there's actually a din, he's chal upon him, the status of a shomer. Shomer aveda. Machlokes in the Gemara, whether or not he has the din of a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, but either way, he has a din of a shomer. So for instance, somebody's poshaya would actually be chayv b'tashlumin, that l'chuleyam. So you might say that the chiv tashlumin emerges from his status as a shomer. This is still a big chiddush because here you're talking about where the Torah says you can keep it. You would think then that as a shomer you wouldn't be mechuyev as a shomer then. So maybe we'll say no. In fact, once you become a shomer, you then become simply mechuyev to return it or the damim. And if the Torah has this notion of yeyush and enables you to be koneh, that doesn't pater you from the requirement as a shomer aveda to return, in which case you become a chuliyah v'dam. It's a big kiddush chiddush. Alternatively, perhaps, and this we'll come back to soon, next month, over, I guess, perhaps it's kind of a sheer bikinyan. Maybe the fact that you have a chiv damim is simply a function of the fact that yeish isn't really fully nignat to you. We mentioned this shita, we'll come back to it. But that would enable you to say that's where the tashlum come from. Tashlum come from the fact that it's simply part of the initial requirement to return the item, so yeyush enables you to be koneh, but not the damim. In which case, it is a kium of mitzvah shehet shivim, but the main point is, you never actually own the item, as far as its damim is concerned, and therefore you simply have to return it for that purpose. Alright, in any event, that tos is certainly a chiddush. According to most of them, again, it works, it doesn't work at all, you simply have no ability to keep the chiddush. A question that one would raise is, why doesn't it work? On what basis doesn't it work? Even according to Tosos, it doesn't work to enable you to keep it scot-free. And basically the question is, what does it mean when the Gemara says, so here we find two general possibilities. One, which is the Tosos, is that it doesn't work because the Motzei is already Mechuyah B'mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. That's what it means to be Surah Silati. It means that you become Mechuyah B'mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, and in that situation, Yeish doesn't work. Now that itself could be understood in one of two ways. One is to say that Yeish is Chal, it's Chal either way, but the Motzei already being Mechuyah B'mitzvah Sashev Teshivim, he has a mitzvah to return it. Yeish doesn't work to undermine the mitzvah, so it's true it undermines the bailus of the Motzei, but the first guy still has the mitzvah to return it to that guy, because he's already mitzvah. The mitzvah's already chal upon him. Versus saying, no, Yeish, in the event that you have a mitzvah sashev teshivim, Yeish simply isn't chal at all. It's only relevant before the mitzvah sashava sets in. Once the mitzvah sashava sets in, so Yeish, the din Yeish was never mischadish. There is no din Yeish. What would the nafkamina be between those two? Let's say somebody else comes along. Can he be kone the chevetz if it comes to them? Somebody besides the motzei. So here we have machlokas tzitzos and the ritva. Tzitzos assumed that, let's say, somebody else comes along, since in that case it would be beheteros liyadei, which means that you would no longer be mechuyah b'ashava, right? The third person would never have become mechuyah b'ashava, so that he would be able to be kone. In other words, the yesh was chav, so it does in fact undermine the bylaws of the rishon. Now it's ownerless, elamai, the initial motzei still has a mitzvah sashar zaveda, but that would imply that somebody else can take it because there's no bailus and he doesn't have a mitzvah. The Ritva, however, clearly disagreed. He says, meaning, the Yeish Bechal isn't Chal, it's still the Bailam Harishonim, and therefore it doesn't matter if you take it from somebody else. The point is, it's Yeish simply isn't chal at all. That would seem to be nachmina, two ways to understand what we're saying when we say that since he's already mechuyah b'Shabbos Aveda, Yeish doesn't allow you to keep it. Is that because it has no relevance whatsoever? Second, that would be. Or because we say it is chal, but nonetheless, the mitzvah simply wins out, and there's still a mitzvah to Shabbos Aveda, but nachmina for somebody else. The alternative is the Ramban. The Ramban gives a different understanding of what Yisur Liyadi means, a different understanding of why it is that Yeish doesn't work after it comes to the Yad HaMotzei, and his explanation is that in that case he's a shomer of the Bailim. It's Yado Kiyad Bailim, it's considered to be as if it's the Birshus HaBailim to some extent, and the Ramban suggests that Yeish Birshus doesn't work. If I were to be Miyayish, let's say, when an item is still within my possession, let's say, I know that it's within, but I just don't know, I'm never going to find it, forget it, I'm never seeing that thing again. This happens to me frequently, right? You know it's in the house, but it might as well not be. You have no idea where it is. So you're miyash. So does that work? So Ramban assumes that would not work. Tosfos happens to disagree. This is the second context of the scope of the din I wanted to just explore, which is the Tosfos assume that that's not the case, that a person is mafsid something with bias, kasavarshin, that he won't find it. In that case, Tosfos clearly assumes that Yeish would work. Now, it makes sense to analyze this question of Yeish Pershus in light of the basic character of Yeish, I think. If Yeish worked in time hefker, like some Achron Thadon Rashi, so then what would you think? Sure. Yeah, that it would work. Right? Just like hefker works, so too Yeish should work, even if it's Pershus, maybe especially if it's Pershus. If Yeish is Pater Mishum, if the basis for it is the third understanding, right, that it's a din, it's exclusion from the mitzvah of Hashem Saveda, which then allows the Aveda naturally to become ownerless, what would you think? In that case, Yeish will not work. And why? Because it's not Avudim in it. It's not an Aveda. Sure. Right? There's no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, something which is actually Bershusa. Right. So in that case, it certainly wouldn't make a difference. Yeah. What about if Yeish didn't maintaining bailus?
That's what you call maintaining bailus.
What?
That's what you call maintaining bailus.
So I think it would depend then on two questions. It could depend on the general parameters of bailus. And the question then becomes, is the subjective link always necessary, or if you have objective control over it, if it's within your domain, objectively speaking and physically speaking, so maybe to maintain bailus, the subjective component, the subjective relationship to the item isn't necessary. That's one possibility. Alternatively, maybe it's a more local question about what we have here. It's only necessary, let's say, to maintain the subjective relationship with the item in the absence of objective control. When the chevetz, let's say, is avudumen, what could the question be? What is the status of a chevetz within your house that you cannot find? Is that really Hachashitascha, is that really something that you have control over? Or perhaps, might you say, that that actually is avud amin? It's not objectively within your control if you don't have no idea where it is.
It's technically Bershusa. Technically it's Bershusa.
It's physically Bershusa, but is it within his shlita? Is he considered in control over it? Does he consider to have access to it? You might say, no, that's the same question. You're considered to have access to it if it's physically within your possession, within your physical domain. You might say, no, if you don't know where it is, so then what good is the fact that it's in your domain? You don't have access to it. I hear this focus all the time in my house. You know, when I was a kid, you know, my mom would say, you lost it? And I would say, it's not lost, it's somewhere in the house. I'd say, you know. So I think those are two questions upon which you would decide this issue of Yesh Rishus within the view that it's, the second view, that it's a Dim Debilus. All right, so that's in terms of Yesh Baveda. So we discussed basically the Makor of the Din, the character of the Din, the Yisora Din, the impact of Yesh, and then finally the scope of Yesh, two major issues that come up. One, whether or not it works La'achar Shebali Adamotze, Kolkas Osos and Shari Shonim, within the view that it doesn't work at all. Why is that? On the basis of what does it mean Shemotze Besuras Li'adei? So we saw two approaches there. One, associated with Tosos Mevukama, I'm sorry, with Tosos Mevukama, that means that he's already become Mechuyah Be'ashava. Yesh doesn't work once you've already become Mechuyah Be'ashava. Two views about how to understand that. One, Yesh is Chava, Brava Pichem. Once you're already Mitzuvah, then you have the Mitzvah to return it regardless. Two, once you're already Mechuyah Be'ashava, then Yesh is irrelevant, it's not Chal at all. Nachmina being somebody else, a third party, which is Machokas Ritvan Ksos. But that's all within the view that the reason that it's not able to be Chal once it's already reached the possession of somebody, it's because he's already Mechuyah Be'ashava. The second view was the view of the Ramban, that the reason that it's not Chal in that case is because Yadik Yad by them, and it's considered to be Yesh Pershus, which brings you to us the second question regarding the scope, which is whether or not Yesh Pershus applies. So that, you see, the Ramban held it did. It did not apply, rather. Tosus held it did, and that can be analyzed according to each of the views, according to the view that it's based on Hefker Wood, according to the view that it's based on, that it's a Hafka, Miyash, Mitzvah, Aveda, Lechor, it's clearly wouldn't, because it's not an Abuda, and according to the third, the middle view, if you will, the view that it's based on a Din Bibleus, so then we said it could be an open question based on one of two issues. One, is it necessary to have the subjective component of Bailos only as a last resort when it's no longer objectively within their control, or is it always necessary? Two, assuming that it's, let's say, necessary only if it's no longer within your control, maybe the question is this, in fact, no longer within his control or not? That could be a question. Maybe you would say this is no longer, maybe you would say this is no longer in his control, in which case you would say, even if, let's say, objectively speaking, you know, if you had objective dominion over it, you wouldn't need the subjective component, but here you don't have objective dominion because you don't know where it is, so it's not really the Mishiv Tosfah. Okay, so next we'll discuss Yesh B'Zeh. Okay, good.